I am Stuart Rahm, and I am a professor of the practice in the School of Architecture and the College of Design at Georgia Tech. Also, I am on the architecture team that renovated the current library with BNIM and Praxis 3, and that gave rise to media sites because we realized that the renovation, the renewal of the new library was with old media, print books often, a lot of it going out, new media was coming in, and we wanted sites that exemplified the new mode of information exchange with students and faculty being media sites, and that's how it gave rise to the Media Bridge among several other sites.
Listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I'm Charlie Bennett, in the studio with Marley Givens, Fred Rasko, and a player to be named later. Each week on Lost in the Stacks, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you tune in for, we hope you dig it.
Today's show is called Under the Media Bridge. Hey, Fred and Charlie, would you like to guess our show theme?
I mean, I think the obvious one is mid-90s Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Mm. Oh, man. Please not that. places unexpectedly fired television hosts end up sleeping.
Oh, I like that one. How about hiding places for trolls booted off of social media platforms?
No, three guesses are enough.
Okay.
Our show today is all about the enormous media installation at the Georgia Tech Library, built into the walking bridge between the two library buildings. The centerpiece of this media bridge is an enormous video screen that spans the length of the bridge. That screen faces the ground, which means the best viewing spot for the screen is under the bridge.
Oh, with Anthony Kiedis.
Mm-hmm. Under the bridge in Midtown. Several classes have used the media bridge as a component of their class, and this semester one of those classes was LMC 8803. Which is Data, Design, and Society, taught by Professor Yanni Lukesis, assisted by the library's communication manager, Jason Wright, and the public engagement librarian, who is right here in the studio with us.
Hi there.
Charlie recorded an interview with Yanni and Jason this week so that we can hear about the class and how it went this semester.
So our songs today are about learning where you are, creating your own questions, imagining possibilities, and maybe some bridges too.
Where is that bridge?
Let's start with a song about connecting emotionally through a huge illuminated display. This is Lights by Liz Cooper and The Stampede right here on Lost in the Stacks. Lights by Liz Cooper and The Stampede. This is Lost in the Stacks, and our show today is called Under the Media Bridge, referring to the media installation between the two library buildings at Georgia Tech. Our guests are Professor Yanni Lukesis of Georgia Tech School of Literature, Media and Communication, and Library Communications Manager Jason Wright.
Jason manages the media that goes on the bridge, and Yanni taught a course this semester called Data, Design, and Society that focused on creating data visualization videos for the media bridge.
Jason, I think you should set the scene for us. What is the media bridge? What's this thing we're talking about?
Okay, so the media bridge is a large-scale media installation screen that sits on the underside of the bridge that connects Price Gilbert Memorial Library to Crosland Tower, which are the library buildings, collectively the library. And it's used as sort of a town square, I don't want to say bulletin board, but you know, it's meant to show people all the scholarship that's happening all over campus. So we have things like researchers of note and what their research is. We have some video pieces that run that show research being done all over the campus, you know, NASA rovers and drones, just things that are neat and visually interesting.
Why do you not want to say it's a bulletin board? What aspect of bulletin boards?
I think that kind of downplays it. I think that underplays like what it is, you know, because it is it's meant to be a physical and digital experience in one. You can sell that as it's just a big giant digital billboard.
Except there's a lot of things that are different about it, right? I mean, like the orientation of it and the placement and how people are seeing it.
Yeah, so it's a very novel concept in terms of the way screens work together. It's a lot closer to something like you might see in, say, Times Square, where there are technically 9 screens all running at the same time. There's the large screen on the underside of the bridge, and then there's 8 vertical screens that act as spires that go down the sides of the bridge because it is a 3-story bridge. Those typically have like a text element to them or some sort of visual element. So for the students that sit there and study, they can see and understand what's actually happening on the underside of the bridge because it, you know, for instance, if it's say we have a compass piece, so it will tell you, hey, this is an event that you might be interested in. It's happening in this building at this time. And then the compass will show you that building is this way, less than a mile walk. So you might want to go over there and check it out. And while you're sitting inside, what's scrolling in front of you, and it's actually reflected because of the interesting design of the Media Bridge, which was the brainchild of Stuart Rahm, who's a professor of the practice of architecture here at Georgia Tech. It will scroll and you can read and understand, oh, this is an event that is happening and it's telling me what time it happens. Or if it's just, we also have some kind of ambient stuff that runs through that was always very important to us to just sort of have some interesting just visual elements that might calm you down, might help, you know, you are in that as much as we have a wonderful green space, you are in somewhat of an urban campus. So things like beaches, underwater, the way light interacts in an aquarium with bioluminescent organisms is on there. Just really interesting kind of neat stuff so that as you walk through, you never quite know what you're going to see. And we keep it pretty full of material. So hundreds of pieces that are running more or less 24 hours a day.
Where is all this content coming from? Who's creating these videos or images and who makes sure it runs for 24 hours?
That would be me. I do have some help in terms of if Institute Communications creates a video that can run without sound. It does have the capability for sound, but we definitely found that you do not want sound running there 24 hours a day because it tends to bounce off like the School of Design down the hill. Or bounce off the side of the buildings, and people really didn't like that. So we can do sound if we want to do like a specific time and installation that has sound. We can do that, and we do that with students who produce some work on it and have a sound element. Most of the time, it is just running. It actually runs on the same content management system as the rest of digital signage on campus, which is a content management system called 22 Mile. So all the screens in Clough, all over, you know, campus, they all pretty much run on this same system. So it's just loaded into there. A lot of my job is just creating content for this. Going through, unfortunately, none of it is automated. We have not reached that point yet where we've been able to custom code automation into it. So I just go and check the calendar and grab stuff and you know, make the pieces, just little digital art pieces. It also has, because of the courses that we've been able to work with professors here at Georgia Tech. It also has a mode where we have a media server up there so we can have interactive content. And so last spring was the first class that worked on the bridge, and one of the groups was able to take their project all the way through and have an interactive exhibit called The Garden of Us, where you would scan a QR code, create like an origami flower, and then it would appear and fall down the spire and land among the other pieces on the main pool part of the bridge, the underside. And then this semester, we're working obviously with Dr. Lucasis here, and we're also still working with that last class. It's Stuart Rahm and Hunter Spence, who are both in the School of Design. And they're also working on interactive elements and things like that. And we've been able to show some student work on there as well.
So Yanni, from an outside perspective, outside the library organization, is there anything about the Media Bridge that you're interested in, concerned about, that Jason didn't mention, since he's coming from sort of a practical place talking about it?
Yeah, sure. I've been pondering this. You know, I'm coming at this from, you know, a host of personal interests that have kind of developed over time. I was educated originally as an architect, and I see this very much first and foremost as a piece of architecture. Even though I no longer teach or practice in architecture in a traditional sense, I've still maintained a strong interest in the shaping of places, in understanding human perception of space, the way we interact with our environment, in particular, how public spaces shape the way we interact with one another and the way we see ourselves. As I work in digital media now, this kind of project, I think, really opens up a host of new possibilities, new questions, new challenges for thinking about my relationship to architecture and how some of the work I do now can be layered back onto architectural spaces. One of the problems with digital media in the last couple of decades is it's been kind of place agnostic. There's this sense that it doesn't matter where you are, when you are, who you are. When you're looking at a screen, it's just a screen. I think that's totally wrong. I think place still matters. No matter where you are when you glance at your phone, you're someplace, and that place matters. And I think what this does for us is kind of makes that sense of situatedness, the kind of importance of place, undeniable.
This is Lost in the Stacks. We'll be back with more from Yanni Loukisas and Jason Wright under the Media Bridge after a music set.
Hey, Jason, why don't you do the introduction to the music. Get up on this mic.
File the set under LB1027.28.C87, folks.
Nice.
You just heard Wheels by Cake, and before that, Talk of the Town by The Pretenders. Songs about learning what's going on around you and why you're a part of it.
This is Lost in the Stacks, and today's show is called Under the Media Bridge.
We're speaking with Professor Yanni Loukisas of Georgia Tech School of Literature, Media, and Communication, and Library Communications Manager Jason Wright, who has another job as a daytime radio announcer, I think. Yanni taught a class this semester that used the library's Media Bridge installation as a key component, and he enlisted Jason and me to help with the class, both in the classroom and under the Media Bridge.
We asked Yanni what he found compelling about the Media Bridge as a class component.
I'm not only someone who, you know, has a background in architecture and is now in digital media. I also am a social researcher, so I'm very interested in how people behave in space, behave in relationship to new technologies, particularly information technologies. You know, I had one of my mentors, Sherry Turkle, used to always say that what was more important than what technologies did for us was what they did to us. So I've tried to get this class to think about what can the screen do to us, this particular screen in this place, at a moment in time, how might it affect us? And so in that sense, it's a real challenge to think about data, not just in terms of decision-making or claim-making, but in terms of emotional affect, in terms of how data can reshape the way we think about a place and our relationship to it. I want to throw out a couple of metaphors that I think can help us kind of reimagine this as something other than a screen or a billboard, as something really part of the environment that kind of extends into a new dimension. One notion is that it's a kind of virtual sky. The artist James Turrell created a whole series of beautiful installations called Sky Spaces, where he kind of opened up the ceiling of a room and in a way that kind of people hadn't seen before. So he had these apertures cut in an incredibly precise way where the edge of the aperture is like a knife's edge. I don't know if you all have seen these, but the effect is that the sky looks like it's painted onto the ceiling of the room. There is no edge. There's no edge to that aperture. So it's just like one contiguous surface. So you're looking up and you see this blue square. And you think, oh, there's a beautiful patch of blue painted on the ceiling. And then a cloud starts to float across it. And it just blows your mind. So it's a kind of intervention into our perception. You know, and I think that's what the Media Bridge can do. It can really help us to experiment with perception in new ways. You know, I think what Terrell was doing was, let's say, amplifying perception. Here we're potentially augmenting perception. You know, another way to think about it as an extension of the sky idea is as a kind of virtual horizon. And this is something that really, the way that it acts in the campus is you can see it from quite far off, but because it's a horizontal surface, it's a line, you know, kind of like the horizon. And as you approach it, you realize that there's a space in that line and it kind of opens up and there's something there. And I think that's a really exciting notion because a horizon also suggests something like a threshold, a hole in the fabric of the physical campus architecture that leads to a virtual space, you know? And I think with all the stuff that's happening in like VR, AR, XR, you know, I think this is a, even though in some sense it's still a screen, as we traditionally think about it, the way it works spatially is totally different. So I do think it's exciting and, you know, it has this open-endedness to it. It's a kind of meta architecture. It's, mutable. And so we've been playing all semester with what we can do. And it's been incredible to have this resource, to work with one that at this scale that has this kind of public presence, that we can test the real thing. And that's usually not available to courses like this.
So I've learned something working with you this semester, which is that there's sort of categories of classes, almost like a template of a class that then the professor puts their particular interest into. So can you tell us quickly what's the base class that this Media Bridge class is? And
this class is what I'd categorize as a project studio. That means that instead of giving a series of lectures or having a series of seminar discussions, students are making things. And they're not only making things themselves, they're looking at things that their classmates have made. They're talking about those things. They're developing a shared language. And I'm directly working with them on their projects in the sense that we are iteratively developing these, we're talking about them, you know, there's feedback sessions, there are critique sessions. And of course, you know, you have been instrumental in this, Charlie, and you have kind of seamlessly flowed into the studio.
I insinuated myself. Yes.
Yeah. I invited you in and you clearly have an aptitude, you know, with this style of instruction, which is not easy because you have to kind of respond to what the students have done on the fly. It's a lot of improvisation, which, you know, given the fact that you do this show live, you know, and you've done it for many years, obviously it's something you are excited about and you do well and you have a lot of practice with. And it's an invigorating way to work with students because you get to, instead of kind of setting out some abstract principles or showing them case studies, you're designing with them. You're working with them. You're modeling for them how to think creatively, how to do design, how to kind of take a project and imagine several ways forward for it, how to kind of see obstacles that come up. and find ways around them. So it's very interactive, and I love that. And I can see it's the format, at least in my experience, that students are the most engaged by.
You're listening to Lost in the Stacks. We'll be back with more about the Georgia Tech Library's Media Bridge on the left side of the hour.
All right. Okay, Nicholas, on your own time.
Okay. This is Nicholas Felton. You're listening to Lost in the Stacks on WREK Atlanta.
Today's show is called Under the Media Bridge, all about a course conceived by one of our guests, Professor Yanni Loukisis. I asked Yanni whether he felt left out not creating work for the Media Bridge while all of his students were doing it, and whether he had any ideas on something he might do in the future.
I do feel like I have been a collaborator in all the projects, and you have as well. We were really intimately involved in thinking through what could be possible on the bridge. We gave them a lot of the prompts that kind of motivated these projects. I think that designing with someone else, with someone more experienced, it's a kind of apprenticeship model of learning creative practice. So in that sense, I do already feel like I have designed for the bridge. I would be really excited to further explore this notion that the bridge can augment our perception. In that sense, I think there's a couple of other components that we needed, like a high-resolution camera that was connected directly to the bridge. So we had real-time input that we could manipulate on the bridge through code, through algorithms. And it would be exciting to think about how we could use that kind of information to help students see the campus environment in new ways. You know, let's say there was a camera mounted on the top of the library and we got a feed of the sky. Like, what could we do with that over time? Or the camera is pointing down, so it records everyone that walks under it. What could we do with that? There's a host of kind of potential explorations around augmented perception and how digitally layered or digitally augmented architecture can transform our perception of space in the environment.
File this set under QA76.9.I52Y85.
You were just listening to Design by Gremlin, and before that you heard Data by Unwound. Those are songs about skills and artifacts needed to visualize your research questions.
This is Lost in the Stacks, and today's show is called Under the Media Bridge, all about a course created by, around the Georgia Tech Library's Media Bridge. Our guests are Jason Wright and Professor Yanni Loukisis. I asked Yanni about how he designed the course.
Did the desire to work with the bridge come first, or did you start formulating a class and then realize, ooh, the bridge, this is what we should do it with? How did that work?
It's a course that I've taught many times before, but each time I teach it, it's totally different in the sense that, there's a new project. It's always dealing with data presentation in the public realm in one way or another, and the social implications of that. I often think of the class itself as a kind of design problem. More than a year ago, I would say, I was talking with Greg Zinman, who's a media historian and a professor of cinema studies here at Georgia Tech, about doing something with the Media Bridge. And we actually applied for some funding from the Global Studies Center, which we got, which we were excited to get. And the funding was to commission someone to do a project on the Media Bridge, commission an outside artist to do a project. And, you know, when we got the funding, it was in the fall, And, you know, it was the time I was thinking about what I was going to do for this course. It just seemed like a natural thing to see the course as a place in which to explore the potential of the Media Bridge and feed into this commission. So in that sense, the bridge, the idea for working with the bridge came before the course. Then what happened was once we got into it, you know, the students were doing incredible things. And in some sense, the need to bring someone else in to do something on the bridge became less and less important. And when I told the people in the Global Studies Center about all the fantastic projects the students were doing, they were thrilled. And they said, you know, they wanted to encourage more of that. And so we're pivoting a bit to think about how we can use that funding to not just bring someone from the outside, but rather make the Media Bridge more accessible to other students, to other classes. And we have plans now to use that funding to develop a guide to a design guide for the Media Bridge this summer. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I hope that we'll have other opportunities to do courses like this in the future, building on everything we've learned.
So we're coming to the end of the interview. We're also coming to the end of the semester. You've seen almost the final work of the students. Has anything changed about how you all imagine what people can do on the bridge? What has the students' work done to your internal image of the Media Bridge? I want to start with you, Jason.
It really has expanded what I think is possible with the Media Bridge. There's one piece in particular that I'm really fond of, actually, the Frankenstein piece.
Yeah.
I think that might just be my own, you know, I love literature, I love horror movies, I love, you know, Frankenstein, all that stuff. But I really like the idea that it could be a storytelling device. I think that that's really an interesting concept. And that as you're walking through campus and, you know, generally art interaction might just be consumptive. You walk past a mural or something and you sit and you look at it, or it becomes part of your understanding of the place, as Dr. Lucas was talking about. But I really like this idea that it could tell you stories. It could expose you to the best of Western literature in this case, but, you know, world literature. We have a very diverse campus. I'd love to see many more things happen there in all sorts of different languages, in all sorts of different communication techniques. That really, to me, has been instead of necessary. I mean, because of the way that we launched it, and we had to launch it playing videos, and interactivity is another mode, but it takes a little bit of work. Just the idea that you can use the basic structure to have a sort of like true interactivity of being able to impress something upon people and change the way that they perceive, in that case, technology, the pursuit of knowledge. And, you know, just all the metacontextualization things of you're sitting there looking at exactly what she's talking about, an expression of what Mary Shelley is talking about, is just a very interesting concept.
And Yanni?
So I think the most fascinating part of the course for me has been the public aspect of it. I don't think I've ever had an opportunity in a course to iteratively test student projects in public and get feedback and reactions and engagement from so many people about the work as it's being developed. And I think it really transformed the design process in the classroom into this kind of social, very social process, where there was this sense that the students weren't just designing this stuff for the instructors or for themselves, but rather that, you know, people were going to see this, you know, a lot of people, and they were going to be reacting to it. But instead of just a one-off, like make something and just kind of put it out there, they had the opportunity to test different things, to kind of get, you know, feedback from their classmates, from us. They finally did a whole a series of interviews with passerbys, which was terrific. And, you know, we prompted the students to think about a question related to their project, a question that they wanted to raise in the mind of a viewer, somebody who's walking by. What do you want that person to grapple with? And in that sense, I think they really enlarged the conceptual space of the project. So it was not just about what's on the screen, but it's also about the experiences that that person might be bringing to the encounter. So, you know, there were a number of projects that engage with how students feel, how they feel about the campus, how they feel about technology and science and the idea of progress, how they feel about the passage of time. I can see from the results of the interviews they did that they were incredibly effective, that people were excited to stop and talk to them, really kind of open themselves. And I think once you start to see that design exists in this larger social world, it's not just about what's the composition you put up there, or, you know, how accurate are the data or something like that. But there, you know, an encounter with a project like one of these projects on the Media Bridge has so much to do with what individuals and groups kind of bring to it as they walk by. You know, what are they going through at the moment? What is the place where they're encountering this? What's the context? And I think that students really got a glimpse of that in a way that I haven't seen them do in a class context before.
You just heard from Professor Yanni Loukisas of Georgia Tech's School of Literature, Media, and Communication, and Library Communications Manager Jason Wright, all about the course Data, Design, and Society that took place under the Media Bridge.
Let's play some music.
I'll do another voice if it's okay. File this set under TG147.M48.
Affirmative.
That confounded bridge.
I can't stop smiling. That was The Crunge by Led Zeppelin with The Bridge That Never Shows Up. And before that, Invisible Man by The Breeders. Those were songs about looking up and imagining what could be and finding that confounded bridge. Today's show is called Under the Media Bridge, all about a class that used the library's Media Bridge as a major component of the students' work. So I'd like us all to think quickly. Is there another part of the library that you'd like to see as a significant part of a class at Georgia Tech? Fred?
So in the library, like in the stairwells, a place like you sometimes see exposed pipes and wires, it'd be great to have a class where they just say, yeah, these pipes and wires are here because of this, and they do that. I'd like to know about that.
Interesting, sort of an archaeological kind of thing, contemporary-wise. Marley, how about you?
I love it. The furniture. I'm imagining a class on the aesthetics of furniture rearrangement students at Georgia Tech.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Jason, I'm going to swing this mic over to you. You can come up. Oh, do you know what you're going to say?
I think so, yeah. I'm actually going to cheat a little bit. I saw some work that some students had done on the stairs in Crosland, and it was this whole idea of when you sit down, a pet pops up, like a digital pet pops up, because there's like you can have screens there, and it hangs out with you. Whoa. And so it had three levels. It was like fish on the bottom, a dog or like a chicken in the middle, and then birds up on top.
This is like holograms?
They work. So those stairs can actually be turned into screens. It's built. That's going to be like one of the future areas of digital interaction.
Whoa. Fred is amazed. That totally blows away my thing. I'd like an HTS course to do something about coffee shops in public spaces, but that's like Loserville compared to
there's no holograms.
Dogs
in that,
and all that. If one is interested in seeing the final projects of the students in data design and society, there will be a viewing of all of them at 3 o'clock Wednesday, May 3rd, under the media bridge. And we're so close to getting out of this episode without doing any Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Go ahead and roll the credits, and please don't make it be that riff.
It's definitely not.
Thank you.
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, written and produced by Charlie Bennett, Fred Rasko, and Marley Givens.
Legal counsel and a course from the Columbia School of Broadcasting for Jason were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
That was quite a splurge, Philip. Special thanks to Yanni and Jason for being on the show, with a little extra to Jason for doing some show crew stuff. To all the students in LMC 8803 this semester, to Stuart Rahm for everything he's done and still does, and thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Our webpage is library.gotech.edu/lostinthestacks, where you'll find our podcast feed and a web form if you want to get in touch with us.
On the next Lost in the Stacks, we're going to finally talk about a romance novel as long as the baseball schedule cooperates.
Oh, Georgia Tech baseball. Okay, it's time for our last song today. Our guest talked about looking to the sky and representations of the sky. So to close, let's look back at the sky one more time. This is Mr. Blue Sky, a version of the ELO classic as done by Pamplemousse.
The grapefruit?
I suppose. It's a good song anyway. Have a great weekend, everybody.